Hi, Deep Divers. This episode does have some discussion around sexual harassment, sex work. If you need to, please take care while listening.
Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing,
because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
the deep dive.
Hi, Jessica.
Hello, June.
You know, I sent you a text yesterday. I had a hit where I was like, is Jess okay? You never responded. So I guess I'll ask
you again. That's wild. I don't even remember getting it. No, this week has been a real doozy. You know, ever since everything broke, and then, you know, the washer dryer broke.
I didn't know
and
that.
And the oven at the same time. Like, we get it, you know? But yeah, I have been feeling so overwhelmed this week. I just am feeling that run up to the holidays. Nervousness, and I'm not getting enough tree time, and I'm not, you know, getting enough reason for the season, and I just like want to put the brakes on. And we like our text chain hasn't been lighting up, you know. Now tomorrow I'm having you guys all to my house.
How are you feeling?
Well, again, there's a lot to do. There's a lot to do, but I was working with my coach on like the timelines. You know, I have a timeline. I have my, you know, dead surrogate mom's daughter, Molly, is coming over to help me set up. And she doesn't even want to come to the luncheon. She just wants to come and escape because she's so gifted. So it's going to be really beautiful.
Tell me more about this timeline, because I believe for you, this could be revolutionary.
Well, it is. This is what this ADHD coach and I do. Like, she's like, okay, we write down all of the things that have to get done. Then we write down next to it the time it will take. And then we back that in to a schedule. Now, this may sound for everyone else like, no,
yeah, of
duh.
Course.
I've never done that before. And you don't clean house. You say make bed, 5 minutes. Fold laundry, 30 minutes. Mop floor, X amount of minutes. And like, you back it all in. And so like, for me, I was like, oh, I got to pick the food up at 9 a.m. But like, back that up to 8:40 leaving the home.
Right.
You're not returning home till 9:30. So I'm really excited. This is a big experiment for she and I to see what's going on, and there's lots of alerts ringing, you know, time to be out the door.
This is wonderful, Jess. This is great for you. And can I ask you, so I'm so discombobulated that I keep on forgetting what I was going to say. Oh, okay. So before you would say, okay, I'm hosting at 1. I'm going to start, like, how would you attack it?
Oh, who knows? I will tell you, like, I would never be like showered on time. I would end up just like a wild, or like Lennon would, like Lennon called, God bless. She's been shooting 18 hour days.
I know. I'm so worried about her from when you said that. So yeah.
Calls me this morning. When should I show up? She's imagining I'll sleep over at this point. Like, you're going to need me. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I wish I could offer a helping hand. Unfortunately,
no,
I have soccer games in the morning. Okay.
I don't need it. But she was like, am I bringing my hot wassail that she made?
Yeah. And at a certain point, it's like, it's almost like, are all the guests there to also get things ready for ourselves? You know, that's also a question. Yeah.
This is so important to me to present to you guys, you know, the jewel box that I have made my home. And it's exciting.
I'm proud of you. I'm worried. Excited. I see those nails getting shorter. So I worry about that. But I am proud of you. They still look beautiful. I just worry about they look, you know, they look.
Understand they won't get any shorter than this.
They better not.
I hid them from you. This is a dip also. A lot of people going back and forth between Gel X and dip. I thought she was doing Gel X again and I had to go to a different place because I couldn't get bow. And this was a dip. So actually quite strong. It is held up right now. I don't know what's happening underneath these nails. So
yeah, you're not going to want to find out. A dip is, I mean, I told you this already because I, you know, I was very upset about the dip, but the dips are invasive.
Now
but
I've
this
had is, people say dips are keeping their nails healthy.
I mean, one of the worst experiences I've ever had was taking a dip off and I'll never forget the sensation.
Okay.
So, like but I just don't want them getting any shorter for you to do your labor. You know, again, one of the reasons I like women to have long nails is that it prevents them from doing tasks, domestic tasks. That's why I like them to be long.
I agree. And like, hear me now, like, and this isn't a nails podcast, Stancast, but I will never go back. Ever in my life will I go back to where I was.
I know.
That person, I pity. And I don't, and I welcome like our past. We're not supposed to like reject it, but like who she was, she didn't even know what was going on. And like, okay, fine. Like I'm not wearing a bra. I didn't take my pajamas off all day yesterday. I literally dropped BB off in my pajamas. When I picked up, her teacher said, "Are you still in her pajamas?" And I said, "Yes." I was working my ass off the entire day, but I had these nails. And so that it's okay.
It's the rest can go. That's it.
That's what people don't understand.
It's like you people think like they're just like a cherry on top of a beautifully made cupcake. And it's like, no, actually it's the cherry on top of it can be a pile of shit. And it makes you feel like you're a cupcake. And that's so important.
Looks like the rest feels like a sneaker. Yep.
Yeah.
It does.
It helps you release the rest. It's like, don't look over here. Don't look over there. Don't worry about any of that.
I'm not worried.
Don't fucking worry about it.
Like, I'm not worried because I have this under control. I have these. And I've gotten BB a very extensive manicure set for Christmas, as she asked. That's on its way. But yeah, I was so overwhelmed, just like the Christmas. It's so boring, but it just is what it is. But I'm like determined to enjoy tomorrow. And I'm really excited about tomorrow. I have a lot of physical labor ahead of me until tomorrow. Now, you may or may not see my upstairs. I'm focusing on the downstairs.
For a guest to ask to see the upstairs is an act of violence.
Lennon just said that. And then Lennon goes, they're going to want to see the upstairs. I go, I understand they may want to. They may not be able to.
Yeah, no. It's unacceptable for guests to ask for a tour of the house unless invited. This is also an etiquette podcast. I don't know how many times we have to say it, but we are the new Emily Posts.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're asking for a tour of the house, like, go fuck yourself, because you don't know what I've stuffed in that room and that room.
You don't know what my children's room looks like. And you're not going to know
unless I invite you.
You do what you need to do. Like, don't feel like I have to get the entire house clean because people are coming over. No, they're coming to your downstairs. Clean your downstairs up. That doesn't mean all your laundry has to be done. That's black or white thinking.
No, but I will say, so I had some of Sam's soccer friends over after their last game this past weekend, and I did have the downstairs ready. The problem with kids.
Oh, they'll go in. Which way? Oh, God.
So I had to present their room, and their room, I actually tackled their room this week, and it saved my mental health before the holidays in a way that I can't even tell you. I'm going to give a hot tip to all the parents out there.
Yeah.
Your kids are still in school my kids are still in school next week. I know not everybody's are, but see if you can get your kids out of the house. And this is, I'm talking about like age 9 under, and then fucking take away their toys before Christmas.
Oh,
go
wow.
do a run.
Oh, whoa.
I donated boxes of books boxes of stuffed animals, this and that. And they're about to have a Christmas. And Jessica, when I tell you, they didn't know the wiser.
Oh, they sure don't. You got to be a Grinch at night and put it all, or during the day, wherever they are.
I felt so great.
Here's the thing. Like, I want to be very clear. Like, I'm saying to myself, I have all this work. Like, if you were to give me the gift of of me being able to do the organizing of my home alone with my podcast friends, that's my Christmas gift.
That's pornography. That is the most indulgent day of self-care. That's decadence, as far as I'm concerned.
And that's
But you know what? I remember Rebecca Stone, our friend, wedding planner to the stars,
she'll be there
said
tomorrow.
To me one day, she's going to be there tomorrow. And she's always a guest of significance.
Well, don't you think that's and by the way, one of the loveliest people, so she wouldn't judge, but don't you think I want her coming in too?
Of course. But I remember her saying, like, I was asking her about Mother's Day or something, and she said, all I want is to have everybody leave and be able to sit in my closet, put on my Netflix on my computer, and to organize.
And that's what she did.
And I was like, huh.
And that was her gift.
And now I know, like, that's.
That gets my motor running.
I know. And I've scheduled my day today to a fucking to the minute. And I'm so mad at myself because all I want to do is organize and wrap presents and clear space for Christmas.
Yeah. And it's this last week where everyone's like, got to cram it all in. Like, there's no room left in my hole. You know,
now listen, let me ask you.
I don't like, you know what I mean? When you see like a porn, it's like, how those four dongs gonna fit into that one? Did you know that the woman who I share a last name with, actually lots of porn stars take my last name.
Obviously, I love your last name. We wrote it into Bride Wars.
That's right. Well, a very famous one named Jasmine St. Clair is famous for the most amount of dongs in her at once.
Whoa.
And I think that's four or five.
At the same, well, obviously at the same time. Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but like.
And that's a novelty trick.
And a lot of people say, is it the nose hole? Does that count? Is it the ears? Is it where? Because that's
hard. So they're not all in her vagina.
Well, actually.
That's what I thought you were saying. And I think they are.
I think that, and I just don't know how.
The angles of that for the men too. Yeah, it's like she must be. I'm picturing a world in which their asses, they're lying down, their asses are all pressed against each other.
Yes.
And they're lying down sort of on top of each other. And then she sits on
they're all making them like into a pyramid, into like a pyramid tip.
Got it. This would be hard. This would be hard to figure out.
I picture people corkscrewing. Like some of them are on top, like some of the torsos are coming in and under and to the side. It's like that's what she was famous for, Jasmine St. Clair.
Wow. When I went to Amsterdam, I obviously saw a live sex show where a married couple was having sex on stage. And the guy could not get hard.
Oh, no.
And it was so upsetting.
God, it was just flopping it around.
Flopping
what was he
this
doing?
Way
just
and
like
that way.
Trying
and like turning around and trying and like running off stage and trying to come back. I was like, fuck, this is terrible. But then, you know, Cody said if he could get hard, I'd be more upset. I guess that's true. It was just very upsetting. It was just not. It wasn't what you wanted. And of course, I was high out of my mind, out of my goddamn mind on mushrooms. And they asked for volunteers. I swear I did not raise my hand. I felt the woman lock eyes with me.
Oh, no.
And I didn't feel like I had a choice. And I was brought up to stage. Now, I remember that walk to stage, like the mushrooms were, I wasn't there, you know? And then I'm looking out at my dear friends who are laughing hysterically. And I'm standing up there. And he comes out again with a limp dick. whole, but now he's holding a banana. And I'm
what? What?
And I'm like, oh, what's this now? And then she, and then he inserts, she stands in front of me or lies down in front of me with her legs splayed open. And she, he inserts a banana into her vagina. And then she kind of unpeels it. And I start to realize, uh-oh.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You're going to have to eat.
And then I had to eat the banana. I had to. And so much was happening for me because it's like, I don't know. This is so, I'm so sorry, you guys. I'm so sorry, deep divers. Oh, God. So I, what was happening? And please know, it's on many different substances.
My stomach hurts and I haven't even done any crunches. Oh, my God.
Yeah. But I was also like, what I was tapped into that moment too was just, this is a show. You know, am I going to bail on my fellow performers?
No, absolutely not. By the way, I'm thinking to myself, of course he can't get hard. This is his fifth show today.
Absolutely.
He's exhausted. He's dehydrated.
So I ate the banana, you know?
Did you eat the whole thing or did you just take a nibble off the top? Because the more you eat, the closer to the action.
Yeah, I know. I know. From what I remember, and again, the details are so hazy. Like a part of me just is like, did this even happen? Like it was so, it's one of those memories where I'm like, huh. From what I remember, I just went and took a like nice size bite.
Yeah, because you were committing.
Yeah, but I wanted to give the people what they wanted too, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's now, the troubling thing is like us performers, you know, we're so primed to please and to deliver. And when I say there was an audience, I mean maybe seven people.
Oh, that's an intimate group. Yeah. I'd actually feel better if it was like a magic mic scenario.
Sure. But in my mind, I was still like, I didn't see another, another way out. Oh, no, no, no.
No. And can I tell you, can I ask you?
Sure.
Do you regret it?
Oh, God, no.
Thank you.
Oh,
that's
no,
the thing.
No.
Oh, yeah. Even
no,
the crit.
No.
Oh, I never. Because
there is
up
also
an opportunity like that.
Never. And, you know, there's also something to be said for just like these people are putting on this show that I've paid for and I don't want them to put through. And again, I feel like they locked eyes with me. And
I'm not surprised.
It was
I'm
like as soon as. As soon as they saw me, because I think I was giving them a lot as an audience member, just like
sure, being a part of it.
Yeah, just like his dick isn't hard. Like this is, you know, and I don't worry. It's okay, everyone. You know, I was just like trying to send out good vibes. Good vibes only. <You know?
laughs> How old were you?
God.
I was out.
I was out of college at that point. I think it was my first year out of college.
Oh, that year.
So whatever that is.
Year is a lost. Is a lost.
I know.
Year.
I know.
Like the British do it the year right after high school. You take a gap year and then you go to college. That makes a lot more sense because by the time you're graduating, you're like ready to join the workforce. But that year, you are just a lost person.
It's funny, and it's so funny I'm bringing this story up because I actually, during that last year, Jessica, and I don't have any regrets about eating that banana. I absolutely was a, I don't want to say it was a good time. It was something that happened.
Yeah.
You know?
An experience.
That
you're
was
not going to lay on your deathbed
happened.
And go, I wish I didn't have that weird experience.
I'm not. And I, you know, because I was also so lifted into outer space drug-wise, it's like, I even have that experience, but I have no regrets. However, I flashed back to that lost year and I do remember a bad night. And it's so funny. And I'm sure a lot of deep divers have this experience where you remember something and all of a sudden it's like, that was bad and risky. And I don't know if you, because obviously you don't drink tequila and have just had a margarita for the first time. Like, I know this isn't, I don't imagine you doing a lot of those types of things.
I've been in precarious scenarios.
Okay.
Well, as you know, I'm a cat burglar.
Yeah. I do think you have like some of those sort of risk.
Yes.
You know, where you can put yourself in risky situations.
Yes.
Yeah, when we have to be careful. But I remember a night at a bar that I worked at where I was drinking very heavily, and we were encouraged to drink while we were working. And I had, it was the first time I had too much to drink while at work.
Oh, God.
And I dropped a tray full of cocktails.
Oh, no.
And my friend was like, are you okay? And I was like, I think so. And then I was like, I don't think I can have another drink till we finish. So we didn't have another
drink. This is crazy. You were encouraged to drink while
working. We did shots with our customers.
That's wild. This was at the Brazilian steakhouse?
No, this was at an Irish bar.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay.
So you can only imagine. So then after work, you know, we would finish at one, but the bar would stay open. And a lot of times it was like time to party with the customers. Okay. All of it's just about. So I then, the last thing I remember is being on a street corner. And it was probably around like two or three. Now, cut to. Sorry if this, we'll put a trigger warning on this.
Yeah.
Cut to 5 p.m. the next day. Jess, you look so upset. It's upsetting. I'm laughing. I'm actually very upset.
Lost time. Where were you?
5 p.m. the next day. I wake up in my apartment, in my bed, and I have my, I had this winter pea coat that I had just my mom bought for me. It was still when like your mom needed to come in and buy you a winter coat because you couldn't afford one. I had this pea coat that my mom bought me and three of the buttons were missing. Like Paddington Bear, like buttons are missing.
Oh, no.
Okay. And I looked at the clock and when I saw 5 p.m., I was supposed to be at work at 4:30.
Oh, God.
And I still had my work clothes on and I got up and I like ran to work. And it was the first and only time in my life that I had blacked out. To this day, Jessica,
you don't know what happened.
The only piece of information I have is from my friend who I'm still friendly with. So I do think she gave me a sense of it. I don't think anything bad happened. However, she told me I tried to kiss her.
That is not a surprise. That's not a surprise to me.
But, and then she said, you know, that I was drunk, but I don't have a...
Like, you don't remember how you got home? Did anyone put you in a cab?
Yeah,
this is why, and this is the thing, like...
It's very unnerving to have a loss of time. It's very strange.
Yes, it is very strange and scary. And I don't want to be too dark, but the fact we have to defend our, that we have to feel like we will, something bad will happen if we don't have our wits about us, you know, as anybody, but as women, certainly, is so disturbing.
It's very upsetting. And like, as the years have gone by, I've like put that away. I have, when I tell you, I haven't thought, I don't think I thought about it since it happened. And it's all of a sudden, and this is the sort of like crazy thing about having kids, is that as much as you're in the future with them, you are constantly heading to the past of like you said, what did I do? How do I prepare someone for this? What do I say about it? You know,
well, like nobody said to me, like when I was in Spain over for the junior year, like I would stay out till 3, 4 a.m. And then I didn't have any money. So I would walk home alone through the darkened streets of Spain. Now, you're more likely to get Like, you're not going to get stabbed. You're not going to get shot, but you might get stabbed. But really, you're more likely to get like your stuff stolen, which did happen twice. But I was like, wait, nobody gave me the talk. But there's, you can't, it's like such a fine line. It's like, you don't want to scare somebody to the point where they're like scared to live. But if you give them the false sense of security, that's no bueno.
Well, yes. And it's also like, as many conversations need to be had with young women on protecting themselves, like way more need to be had with young boys on not inflicting, you know, acts of violence on girls and women. But I also, so it's so crazy you say this. So I had another crazy, someone wrote something on Twitter that I think really, and that really made me remember a few of these things, which as Me Too was happening, as like Not Okay was happening, you know, I have to tell you, Jessica, I never posted hashtag Me Too. I mean, I retweeted other people's stuff, but I never could say when of course I've experienced that in the workplace. Did you?
I didn't. And I, it's interesting, like mine came, were not as overt. So it was like they were just subtly insane.
Sure.
And I, they came back, they came, it would be like, I couldn't write it in a paragraph. Like, wouldn't make sense necessarily to somebody. But like, remember the story of like, you know, Jason and I, there was this guy who said, oh, I want to produce something for you. And this is, we were so young. And he wasted our time and he was older. And then he said, meet me at this bar and we'll have a meeting. And it was like 2 o'clock on a Wednesday and Jason never showed up. And I was so mad at him, Jason. I was like, we had a meeting. Like, what the fuck? And I, because I sat down with this guy and he was like, clink, clink, you know, ice.
What the fuck?
Ice, rum. Things are tough with my wife in the Hamptons. You know how it is. And it was like, are you down? And I was like, you've just wasted 3 months of my life. And you, this was all what it was leading up to. And when I got out, I like texted Jason and I was like, what the fuck? And he goes, I never got that text.
Wow.
And it was like entrapment, you know, you're going to be entrapment. But that's like,
but you don't feel like that's overt.
Well,
that couldn't be more. That couldn't be more inappropriate and wildly.
And then we never heard
from him. Of course.
But it felt like when all of these women were coming forward with these truly horrific rapes and, you know, that like, how could that compare? But it's just a wild, and as you get older, like I don't move through the world anymore like I'm a fawn that's about to be like, you know, eaten by a wolf. I don't know if anybody, any wolves even really want to eat me anymore, which is just fine with me. I'm tough meat. You're going to have to chew it a couple minutes, okay? I'll also probably kill you if you try to get me.
You know, it's interesting though. I find it fascinating that neither you nor I wrote that online, because I didn't and couldn't for whatever reason. And yet, of course, I've experienced it. Of course, every woman we know has experienced sexual advances in the workplace. That doesn't need to mean rape, and it doesn't need to mean sexual assault. But of course, we all have. And you know, sometimes when people are like, oh, that's the Me Too movement, it's like, oh, but we didn't even, if you nor I felt we had it bad enough, right? That whole idea of, is it bad enough to speak about it? I guess all of this is to say, I remain so unbelievably inspired by and in gratitude of all of the women who could write that. Because yes. I know how hard it was to write that. And I am so grateful. And I, because I know that how complicated the feelings are too. Like for me, I was talking to Paul the other night about this experience I had when we were away at a hotel and we were both at the beach and there was a worker there and I'm not sure what his position was exactly, but he had spoken to me at a certain point while we were walking around or checking in and I felt the energy was way too much and was sort of leering.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Paul and I got to the beach, I felt him when I was in my bathing suit staring at me.
Mm.
And then I got up at one point to go back to the room because I think I had my period or something. I was like, I have to go back to the room and get my tampons or whatever. And I go back to the room and as I'm walking there, I see he's following me.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. And we're walking and I'm like, oh, my fucking God, he's following me. And then I start to get to the room and he's like, Miss, hey, can I talk to you for a second? Can I talk to you? And
no.
I go,
whoa.
Yeah. And I'm not sure about all this, just, but I'm like, no, I got to go. And then I start to realize if I walk into the way these rooms were set up, they were like little, it wasn't one giant hotel. It was like these little villas with a number of different rooms in them. And I'm like, if I start to walk into the room, he can walk behind me. Like I felt all of a sudden I can't go there. So then I start walking to this more public space and he does not stop following me and talking to me and following me. Please talk to me. Please turn around. And I'm like, I cannot fucking believe this is happening. So then I go into the, and now I'm like, I need help.
Now he's a worker at the hotel?
Correct.
Oh my God.
So then I go into the gift shop and I'm like, I'm just going to go straight up to whoever's working there and tell them to call security. And I go into the gift shop and I start walking to the back of the shop and I hear the ding of like, he's followed me in here. And I walk directly up to this woman and I go, there's a man who works here who has been following me around. I thought he was going to walk into my room behind me. Please call security right now. And then I see him turn around and run.
Oh my God.
Oh, it was. So then they call, first of all, I've been also gone for the way this property was laid out. Like I've been gone for a while. They then bring me into the room. The manager comes down and they're like, he's on property. This isn't the first time this has happened.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, oh God. And then they're like, can you just wait here? So I'm waiting there. Paul has no idea where I've gone.
Paul's like deep, deep slumber. He's like,
okay.
He's so like, should I slip? He's like, should I slip?
He had ordered us lunch. Like he was living his own life over there. But then interestingly, and I guess this is why I want to tell this story, because to get to the more complicated feelings, then they tell me he's been fired and escorted off the property. And I start crying hysterically.
Because you're worried, what if it wasn't that?
No, I knew it was that.
Okay.
But I'm sad for him.
Yeah.
And I was also a little bit worried that he would come back and kill me, but I felt like I cost someone their job today, their livelihood.
And yet he's...
All of it, right? But wow. I was not expecting to feel so badly for him. What a
complicated surprise. What a surprise to feel that way.
And now I look back and I'm like, no, of course he should have been fired. Like He was stalking. He was fucking stalking me on a property. You know,
and what would have happened if
when you... I tell you, Jessica, he was walking 3 feet behind me at one point silently, but like 3 feet, like, and he was very tall. Like the behavior was
absolutely insane.
Absolutely insane. And I thought he's going to attack me.
Yeah, you can trust. Remember the Oprah special where she's just like, you trust the fear, the gift of fear.
It's Gavin DeBecker, gift of fear. Yeah,
trust. If it prickles up,
yes.
If the prickles come,
yes.
Trust.
Yes, and then
run.
Yeah, and it absolutely. I think this was like day two of our stay there. It fucking ruined the week because I was
fucking
wrecked by it. And I was like laying up at night thinking he's going to come back to kill me because I got him fired. And Paul was out of his mind, furious about it. And he was like, Paul's having his own reaction about it. Like we were, I guess what I'm saying is when you say me too, and when that all happened, the complications and the stakes and the amount it costs sometimes people's livelihoods, their reputations, their lives, their positions of power in their industry. And then sometimes on the smallest scale for me, just like the emotional exhaustion it took from me to have to handle my own then feelings of guilt that I felt badly for him, that I knew I had done the right thing, and yet I was so fucked up. What it cost emotionally to walk into that gift store and say, call security now. And especially in a time where I was like, I thought this is leisure time. Like, this is a time I can be in a bathing suit walking around. And it's like, no, you can't be actually. And the fear, you know, the cost of like fear and having to confront it. It's just so much. So I don't even know how the fuck we got on this. I think because you said, do you regret eating a banana out of, you know, sex workers' vagina.
That's very different. No,
and the answer is like, fuck no. No trauma.
No, that's great.
Please.
Wonderful.
Next question. But do I have a lot of complicated feelings around, you know, certain things that I guess what I'm saying is like trauma is how you define trauma. Like that's being called up on stage to eat a banana out of a woman's crotch. Total agency, total, even though, of course, it's out of my head and probably not, you know, not in my right mind at all, but right. Not a single part of me felt anything but like, that's something that happened.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And this,
yes.
People's trauma is so complicated too. And so the fact that these women stood up and like put it out there with the shame of just the experience, the shame of like,
how about when people say, how about when people are like, well, they called them back. Well, they dated them. Well, they slept with them again. And anytime you hear that, I'm like, do you understand anything about the female brain? Anything?
Well, and then of course, that's another thing I was dealing with is how nice I was to this person when I first met him. And feeling like maybe I didn't deserve to be on this vacation. Maybe I'm going to be so nice. And then feeling like I fucking let him in.
Right. He was like, oh, there's a mark. She's going to say back to me, hello, close enough to push her in her room and do whatever the fuck he's going to do to her.
Yes.
He was going to do that. Well, it's also like when certain victims have said, I wanted to make it right. It's like you get raped the first time by, let's say, somebody you've went on a date with. And then you're like, well, I'll just go out with them again because maybe I can rewrite the memory in my head that this didn't happen.
Oh my God. Yes.
And it's like, I understand all of that. Having not been in that position, I can certainly get it. I must have done something wrong. It's so complicated.
It's so complicated. And also, I don't want this man to be hurt. I don't want him to be upset.
And that's something I'd like to teach Bebe.
Absolutely.
Because that, and I'm really fascinated in what is learned, what is culture, what is, you know, I'm watching her get older as a girl, but it's like that innate pleasing of, I don't want to be difficult. I don't want to ruffle your feathers. Yeah. I don't, that will get you so literally fucked. And to teach our children that when it feels wrong, and I'm sorry I keep saying women, because absolutely people in general are vulnerable. And it's like to
children
teach them,
vulnerable.
Children are vulnerable and young. And I will say, when you're in your early 20s, you're still a child. You're still a child. Your brain has not stopped developing. You do not know how to move through the world. You don't even know how to buy a mattress or a peacoat. So you are a child. And it's like, the only thing we need to try and teach them is like, it's okay for you to upset somebody. You know, it's okay for you to stand up and say, this doesn't feel right. That's a really hard thing, especially when we're saying all the time, give that person a hug and say please and thank you and say you're sorry when you don't mean it. You know?
So true. I don't require anyone to give fucking hugs.
Absolutely not.
Hugs gotta go the way the dodo bird with these kids.
Bye-bye.
No more hugs.
Hug a stranger. Come on, man.
Hug is Ovis, you know.
No, I'm fascinated to see where our children will be when they get to that age of consent and, you know, and all of that. I'm really curious.
Yes, and that's why when, like, you know, it's just interesting because I'm like, when people question women about their recounts and the, you know, details of it and like want to get to like the truth of it, and if they don't have the evidence, I'm like, it, what's so overwhelming about that response is just like, do you know how many women never say a fucking word about the things that they have experienced? You know, I had an experience early on in my industry, the first meeting I ever went on, where the much older producer men hid my blazer when I went to the bathroom around the room and my notes for the pitch, and then had me play hot and cold to find them.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
The stories you're telling me are like some sort of a Swedish film that I
You have your own
see.
Stories too, Jessica. And I know you do. But I think that it's like, I guess what I'm saying is, oh, if people really only knew what has gone on that nobody ever spoke about, that I couldn't even write a tweet that said #MeToo. Because even though I was so inspired and I was so glad, but I was also not ready to. Yeah. And I respect that people aren't too. It's like this whole thing of like every woman, you have to tell your stories. I'm like, yes, you do. And also privacy is sacred. And also, stories are sacred. But I guess I say this because I'm like, you know, there are so, when we say believe women, it's because I think every woman knows how many stories have not been told of their own, of their friends.
Stories they don't even, they've internalized.
You can't even
process. They've internalized as normal until that one day you're walking down the street and you go, oh, whoa. Whoa, that was weird. Like, if I had a nickel for how many times Jason would come backstage and go, there's an old creepy dude at the door saying he's here to see the show. And I'm like, why did the guy who took my headshots come to my show, you know, and is waiting for me?
Horrible. 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 Yeah. And I think you're right that as actually we get older, and of course, I've never been more sexy and sexual and
but ain't nobody more coming, sexual for, coming at me.
I disagree, but actually as I get older, I'm able to have a little more kind of, it's like what you're saying about becoming a bit of a wolf. Like you can have a little bit more distance from these things. And so then you look back on them and you're like, oh, fuck. And then you're also like, oh, but I was also surviving and trying to. Anyway, all of this is to say, I really want to shout out every single woman who had the fucking courage to write that, because I didn't. And you did that not just for yourself, but you really did that for so many other people.
We think like the creeps just don't exist anymore. They're just scared for their lives. They're still creeping around.
Of course. And then there's also
believe.
Yeah. And then there's the women who are upholding the patriarchy better than anyone else. You know, certainly there's the white women who are racist and cruel and misogynistic to Black women and women of color. There's so much work and layers to be done and figured out. But I think, you know, I think people want it to be done because it's like, oh, it's so deeply uncomfortable. It's so deeply uncomfortable. And then it's uncomfortable too to talk to your partners and the men that you love in your life about these things.
Well, and it's uncomfortable to talk to your children. I actually think if we can focus on their generation.
Oh, absolutely.
Because
that I'm actually comfortable with.
It's harder. It's hard for me because I don't want BB to be afraid.
I get that. I think it is harder for you. Yeah.
But it's happening. And I know that I'm watching and I'm like, how do I, you know, talk about this? God damn it, I watched Top Gun, which I totally blame Carl Hornbauer for because he's obsessed with all things Tom Cruise. And, you know, in spite of myself, I loved it. But I guess the question you've got is,
where is Shelley? Where is Shelley?
Listen, I didn't see the first one. I'm sure it would make me sick to watch it. I don't know who Shelley is that you're talking
Shelley
about.
Shelley is David Miscavige's wife who has disappeared. Leah Remini filed a police report.
Wait, she's gone? Wait, is that who was the love interest?
Jessica.
Who's Shelley? Shelley, the one movie thing you know. So don't give
this
me like Jessica.
This isn't a movie, my friend. This is real life. The head of the Church of Scientology is a man named David Miscavige, who Tom Cruise... Cody just writes, this is real life.
Yes.
Okay. David's wife was a woman named Shelley. She was also Leah Remini's best friend. When Tom Cruise married Katie Holmes, Leah Remini takes J-Lo as a guest and they all go to the wedding in Italy. And when they're there, Leah notices that her very best friend, Shelley Miscavige, is missing. And isn't at the party. And she says, where's Shelley? Well, don't you know, Shelley has not been seen publicly since then.
What?
So then Leah Remini comes back to Los Angeles. No word from Shelley. She's asking, this is like why Leah left the Church of Scientology. She files a police report. I also believe the LAPD has been pretty much purchased by the Church of Scientology, but that's a whole other discussion. There has been no sightings of her.
I don't understand. No. Where is Shelley?
Well, the Church of Scientology is a criminal organization.
Yeah, of course.
That America's sweetheart, Tom Cruise, is at the front of.
Okay, listen.
And the amount of abuses, and I'm sorry to know this podcast, nobody wants to hear this stuff, but the amount of children that have been abused there, the amount of sexual assaults and rapes that have gone on there, and the number of lives that church has destroyed, and the way that Tom Cruise has purchased our industry. Do you ever see him getting a question about it on a press line?
Never. Yeah. Like, how has he escaped it?
Because he makes a shit ton of money for, Top Gun was like the highest grossing film. That's it. That's it. He's our commodity. And so we are willing to pay the price. Which, you know, again, where's Shelley?
Where's Shelley's paying the price? That's fucking crazy.
Jess, I know we've talked about a lot.
It's been a dark one.
Yeah, but you know what?
It's been a heavy one, but...
But that's okay, you know? And I, to be quite honest, like, I think it is... I'm so excited for the next gen. I wonder if our parents felt that way about us. I don't think they felt, like, excited. I think they felt scared of us. I feel excited about the next gen.
Oh, I'm so excited. They're my inspiration. Oh, no. The reason why I brought up Top Gun is the reason why I watched it was, well, we've been watching some action movie, and BB said the other morning, you know, I want an action movie starring not a man, a woman, and not a white woman, someone of a different race, and let's not have her be skinny. Let's have her be a different size. Wouldn't that be so cool? And I said, yeah. And she said, why hasn't that happened yet? And I'm like, I don't know. You know what, BB, you should make it happen. And she said, maybe I will. And then like went back to watching Bob's Burgers. But that's the kind of stuff that's kicking around their brains.
Love it. Love to see it. And I will say, like, I think one of the first traumas he experienced before was actually right after my dad died, but was, you know, Hillary's loss. Yes. And
that was really hard.
That was really hard. And it was a very hard lesson for the kids to be like, oh, the good one didn't win. You know, sometimes the bad guys win. And also the conversations around, well, why hasn't there been a woman yet? And just all of that. And when Kamala won, his reaction to that was so beautiful. You know, but it's just been so formative. Hillary's loss was formative for him. And then Kamala was formative for him. I don't know. It's just exciting. And I'm glad to have used our podcast to take that time to just say thank you to all those women.
It's just the same as the women who, you know, marched to get the vote.
Thank you, to all of them. Put themselves out there.
It's like,
thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Truly. Gratitude. Gratitude. Thank you.
Bravery. Courage.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's up to us to continue to do the work for the next gen. But thank you to all of the younger women who came and hashtag me too. And oh God, I'm just so grateful. Anyway, Jess, I don't know where this all came from, but sometimes I guess I want to say one other thing about the holidays. Very quick transition back in. You know, holidays can be hard for people.
Yeah.
Holidays can be hard for people. And I just am sending love to all the deep divers who are experiencing, you know, a tough holiday.
Yeah. And I want everyone to focus. I was saying this to my friend who was having a really hard time. I said, let's get down to basics. I want you to focus on sleeping, eating, and moving your body. Let's just take care of those we can control. Mm. So if you're having a tough time, maybe we just get down to those three and just try to take care, even if you're not grieving a loss or any of the other dramatic things that can come up over the holidays. It's a very, very intense time.
It is.
And you see how our kids flip out and have, like, you know, you can set your watch to it 2 hours after opening the gifts. Somebody's sobbing, slash throwing up, slash like having a nervous breakdown. So like we're all really self-care, hydrate. Let's get our deep dive bottles out. Let's hydrate.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to take a sip.
We love you guys so much. We're so grateful to you. And thank you for being with us all year. You're the gift that keeps giving and giving and giving.
And when I tell you these these nails that people are posting.
And by the way, I also wanted just to say briefly, I'm getting so many pictures that literally I like hundreds a day. So I want you to know, if for some reason I don't post you, it's not that I've seen it and I've been like, oh, these nails don't make the cut. It's because there's like, I honestly have time. I'm going to have to farm some of this reading out. But what I do is like when I'm waiting for BB at pickup, I'll just open it up and wherever I am, I start to post. But sometimes the stories disappear. Just know that like we love to see it. But if for some reason I haven't reposted, it's just because I didn't get time.
Sure.
And I love you guys.
I can't. And I did have to give you some feedback today. Just quickly, one word about the Galentine's Day pickleball tournament, and then we'll wrap it up,
yes.
Jess. But I just want to say that we are going to be releasing, and it's probably going to be in the new year, a dress code.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. And I don't know if you guys have
turned away at the door or
no, not at all. Okay, you can feel free to interpret it as you wish. But I do think that, and I don't know if this is going to be a social campaign where we ask for suggestions, you know, something that came to mind,
the color scheme.
Yes, I definitely have to release a style guide, but I want to throw out one phrase that sort of came to me from above, which is just Wimbledon chic.
I love that. I love the direction you're heading. And I also want to throw out one other thing, and I should probably do this offline, but for all of the deep divers who can't come, I want you guys to know this is like a pilot program. Mm. This is the first of many events. Some of them will be huge events. Some of them will be small. Some of them, you know, will be far. Some of them will be close. So don't worry. Everyone's going to have their opportunity. I don't want you guys to be disappointed. This was a small test pilot.
We still have a few tickets left.
They're going very fast.
Shockingly. We had to open up a few more, but we're going to be reaching our capacity quite soon. And again, that's janeclub.com/pickleball. But please know that a style guide and some direction, it's coming. And I believe we will be awarding best and worst dressed.
Wonderful to know. I hope I don't get on the worst. I hope I don't get on the worst.
So too.
Fingers crossed. All right. We love you guys so much.
We'll love you, deep divers. See you soon.
Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep. Let's go on the deep dive. No secrets will we keep. It's June and Jessica going deep. How deep can you go? Oh, really deep. Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep.
The Deep Dive is produced by Earwolf, Jessica St. Clair, and June Diane Raphael. Our producer is Anna Cecilia, and our executive producer is Cody Fisher. Our sound engineer is Veronica Simonetti.
You can listen to our full archive of episodes on Stitcher Premium. For a free one-month trial, use code DEEPDIVE. Special thanks to Anne Geddes for our cover art and Lennon Parham for her sweet vocals. And remember, the best way to support The Deep Dive is to rate and review.